Democrats say the defeat of two proposed constitutional amendments are a sign of the party's strong organization. They say they have the momentum going into the fall. It's Thursday, August 15th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, two prominent election deniers lost primary bids on Tuesday. A northern Wisconsin tribe threatens to once again close down roads on its reservation. And reporter Robert DeAndre looks at what Madison is doing to increase its supply of houses. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What's going on in Wisconsin today? You find out on the Wisconsin Today podcast. This 10 minutes of regional news is supported by the people who listen. You. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler says the lopsided defeat of two Republican-authored constitutional amendments this week bodes well for the party in November. The referendum questions would have required a governor to get legislative approval before spending federal money like disaster relief. The Democratic Party and its allies campaigned hard against the plans, which failed by about 15 percentage points. Wickler says it was a coordinated effort and millions were spent on messaging, but Democrats saw it pay off.
They now know that their work can pay off for November. So I think this will be a big jolt of enthusiasm. And I think it bodes well for the chance for Democrats to win up and down the ballots from the legislature to House races to Tammy Baldwin's Senate race to the Harris-Walls face-off against Trump and Vance.
Republican State Representative Robert Witke of Racine sponsored the bill that led to the questions. In a statement, he said supporters of good government were outspent by far-left special interests who exaggerated the intent of the questions. Two of Wisconsin's most vocal election deniers lost their bids for the state legislature on Tuesday. Sarah Lear has more on the GOP primary results.
In suburban Milwaukee, State Senator Dan Knodel of Germantown cruised to victory in a state assembly primary against State Representative Janelle Branchon of Menominee Falls. Branchon secured Trump's endorsement for the primary. She promoted false conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and has called for the results to be overturned. Another election denier, former State Representative Timothy Ramthin of Campbellsport, lost a GOP primary for the state Senate. When he was in the legislature, Ramthin authored a resolution that called for the 2020 election to be overturned. His opponent, State Senator Dan Fine of Fond du Lac, got nearly twice as many votes as Ramthin. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa may once again block road access for non-tribal residents if a northern Wisconsin town fails to pay overdue permit fees. Hope Kerwin has more on the long-running dispute.
In a letter this week, Tribal President John Johnson Sr. told Town of Lac du Flambeau officials that they had until August 23rd to pay outstanding fees. If not, the tribe would restrict access to the four roads that cross tribal lands. The roads were last blocked from late January to mid-March of 2023, before the tribe and town reached a temporary agreement. But last week, town leaders said they no longer had the funding to continue making payments. Denny Pearson is one of the homeowners affected by the dispute. He's frustrated that the issue hasn't been resolved, and he says a return to blocking the roads would have a significant impact on his family.
If the road gets shut down in August, both my wife, Rachel, and I run the real risk of losing our jobs.
Pearson says he would like to see federal agencies get more involved in resolving the dispute. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A new report found Wisconsinites are still flocking to state parks after record attendance during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Wisconsin Policy Forum report found state park sticker sales were nearly 50% higher last year than they were in 2019. Visits to state parks are also up 21% compared to 4 years ago. Even with those increases, the report found that hunting and fishing license sales have slowed down. Brian Hayden is the president of the Great Lakes Sport Fishermen of Milwaukee. He says fewer people are now interested in fishing and hunting.
As the older generation has, aged out, the kids just aren't as interested in it. And you're finding fewer mentors to be able to introduce people that do have an interest, right?
A federal report found outdoor recreation generated $9.8 billion to the state's gross domestic product in 2022. Coming up, we ask listeners about the issues that matter to them. In Madison, that's housing. We look at the city's struggles to keep up as its population has grown. That's coming up right after this break.
Wisconsin Life is getting to know your neighbors.
A lot of my relatives were river rats. Whole families made a living, as I did.
I'm proud to be Mexican, Pueblo, Oneida, Two-Spirit, proud to be everything that I am.
We just want to, you know, be part of American dream.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
This election year, Wisconsin Public Radio is asking people what elected officials could do to improve their communities. Several people wrote to us saying the cost and availability of housing is the most important issue. As Robert DeAndre reports, the city of Madison is planning for ways to increase density, but some local residents have resisted those changes.
Feel free to come on in and walk around.
Dozens of Madison residents gathered in a meeting room at a church this spring for an open house about a subject of major controversy, a 39-page document drafted by city planners.
This proactive rezoning were removed.
It's called the West Area Plan, one of 12 such drafts covering different parts of the city to prepare for expected population growth. Madison is expected to add more than 100,000 residents by 2050. The plan calls for more housing density, more mixed-use development along transit routes, and changes to bike paths. James Jenninga is a resident of Madison's West Side.
I think we're going to be forced into more dense housing because you just can't go too far out. Where that is and what that looks like is obviously going to be very controversial.
He and his wife Heidi are both civil engineers. They brought along their six-month-old baby, Junia.
I think we're excited about the proposed paths and the bikeability. I mean, that's a huge reason why we want to stay here.
They've owned their own home for 3.5 years and support the plan. But some opponents, like Sharon Gainthy, have been in their homes for decades.
I had a vision that I wanted to live in the neighborhood I live in now, back in 1984. And I had to buy and sell properties, work up the ladder for jobs so that I could eventually live here.
Gainthy finally bought her home 12 years ago.
Now I don't want it taken away or changed or traffic increased or pay for somebody else to come.
Like others opposed to the plan, Gainthy questions the city's projections for population growth or whether Madison's housing crunch even qualifies as a crisis. Kurt Paulson is a professor of urban planning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's written two of Dane County's housing needs assessments.
So it's a crisis, but it's a slow-burning crisis that's come on over the last 15 years.
Paulson says that not enough housing has been built to keep pace with population growth. Increased construction costs and higher interest rates only make the problem worse. As of 2023, the homeowner vacancy rate in Madison was 1.6%. And the rental vacancy rate was 2.2%, well below what is considered a balanced market. Paulson says many families are paying more than half of their income to rent, and homelessness is increasing.
So every one of those indicators is trending in the wrong direction and showing a crisis.
When people with higher incomes can't find a suitable home to buy, they often end up renting. That drives up rents for people with lower incomes. Amy Kell has spent her career advocating for affordable housing. She's also lived in cities with growing populations and tight housing markets like Seattle and Atlanta. Now an active citizen on Madison's West Side, she sees the proposed changes as a threat to her neighborhood's tree canopy. She says the plan is too centered around mass transit that doesn't suit everyone's needs.
I worked in affordable housing my whole career. I believe in it, and I believe it gives people a leg up. But I also think that you have to balance it out with the market conditions of the city that you're dealing with and the geography of the city that you're dealing with.
Paulson, the UW-Madison housing expert, says solving the housing crisis is ultimately a moral question.
Do we think that everyone deserves a decent and affordable place to live? And are we willing to say yes and make room for more people in our neighborhood?
Madison's Common Council is expected to take up consideration of the West Area Plan on September 10th. Robert DeAndrea, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This election year, WPR is focused on learning what Wisconsinites want to hear from candidates. Tell us what you want candidates to be discussing as they compete for your votes at WPR.org/election2024. And that's today's podcast for this Thursday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were Rob Mentzer and John Davis. You can catch us again tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back again soon. Take care. Have a great day.